Portage Health Foundation is proud to introduce you to Do Good Volunteer of the Month, Angie Van Tassel. Angie has made quite a mark in Michigan's Copper Country since moving here in the 1980s. She initiated a high school completion program for pregnant and parenting teens, started support groups for women with cancer, provided rides for Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly, and is a board member with UP Kids. She also helped build the new pickleball courts in Hancock. If you know an incredible volunteer like Angie, go to dogoodcc.org and nominate them to be recognized as the next Do Good in the Copper Country Volunteer of the Month.
Welcome back to segment two of Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. I was looking over our list of issues that we like to address periodically on the program recently and discovered that we hadn't talked about our veterans for quite a while, and especially since we just had some of our active member people in the reserves head out towards the Middle East, including some from the Copper Country and some from other areas in the UP, I thought it'd be a good time to bring in Joe Battisfor from the Houghton County Veterans Office to update on some of the things that have changed. And because this is all run by the government, you know that A, it changes, and B, it comes with paperwork and hoops to jump through. So Joe, welcome back to the program. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for inviting me.
It is the government. Things do change. And the big change that you have kind of alerted me to here, and I was kind of aware of, is something that was signed into law last year called the PACT Act. What is the PACT Act?
Well, the PACT Act is probably one of the largest legislative changes or law, change in law affecting veterans in many years. The full name of the law is the Sergeant First Class Heath Robinson Honoring Our Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxics PACT Act. So it
was, as I said, government. Yeah, put a name on it. You got to honor somebody along the line.
Well, it's a law that came into effect through a lot of efforts from our representatives in Congress. And it is it affects a large number of veterans, primarily those veterans serving in Vietnam during the time of the Vietnam War and during the Gulf War all the way to the present time.
And that veteran, that Vietnam thing has been going on for ages. I mean, I had friends years ago who were suffering from what we thought at the time and eventually turned out to be Agent Orange issues, things of that nature. That battle has been going on for decades, and there have been some other, what is it, Camp Lejeune?
Camp Lejeune.
Camp Lejeune, is that included in this as well? We've been hearing a lot about the water supply contamination there that's caused problems.
Right. As far as Camp Lejeune in the PACT Act, the biggest change there is that the PACT Act allows citizens to sue the U.S. government directly. And we're not talking about VA claims and the things that we help out with in the office, but to actually get a lawyer and sue the government for damages, not just to veterans, but to their family members.
So there's actually now action that can be taken by individual veterans here.
Yes.
Will there be, and maybe you're not the person to ask this, not being an attorney and such, yeah. I could see class action suits developing out of some of these things.
I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily class action, but I think it allows individual lawsuits. So it's possibly class action. I'm not sure.
But what have you seen out of this here in the Copper Country from people who served in Vietnam or in the Middle East? Have you seen, do we have people here who were affected by some of these chemicals and toxic situations?
So by the PACT Act, yeah, by and large, it has a major effect on Vietnam veterans in two large ways. It adds two presumptive conditions. One of them is a very common condition in America, and it's high blood pressure or hypertension. The other one is something less common called monoclonal gammopathy of undetermined significance. But it adds those two conditions as presumptive, and it also adds a number of locations that were previously excluded. And I can give examples. So in the past, if a veteran applied for service connection for high blood pressure, he would have been turned down in most cases because that was not a condition that was recognized as caused or acknowledged as caused by Agent Orange. Now that's not the case. So if he can show that he or she can show that they served in a location that is acknowledged as having been exposed to Agent Orange, that would be connected, service connected. And that's the other half of the change with Vietnam veterans is it added locations such as Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, Guam, and the Johnston Atolls, which are huge, you know, areas. In the past, a veteran had to have initially served on the ground in Vietnam. Then they expanded it to, last decade, to veterans who served within 12 nautical miles of the shores of Vietnam. But during all this previous time, if a veteran had served in Laos or Thailand, conducting where airplanes primarily were conducting operations in Vietnam, and where there were a lot of evidence that they were spraying Agent Orange on the perimeters of those bases, they were largely unable to be connected for their conditions. And now that's not the case.
So this is a flag going up for veterans who may have applied for benefits or may over the years have been told that they were in some way or shape or form ineligible. Now they need to revisit this.
Absolutely. Yes, we're encouraging everyone to come back in. And while the PACT Act does not allow backdate to the original date of denial, if the veterans file within this first year of the law, so before August of 2023, then the VA has said that they will backdate the claim to August of 2022. Another big issue here, or big thing to understand, is even in the case where a veteran has passed away and his surviving spouse is still living, if the veteran's death can be related to any of these new conditions, then the surviving spouse would be eligible for a benefit.
So what kind of benefits are involved here? First of all, let's talk about the benefits for those veterans who are still living, maybe have these existing health problems. What do they get out of this?
Sure. So, well, that's a big question.
I thought it might be, yeah. But I had to ask it.
So, first off, you would say compensation. Depending on the severity of the condition that is service-connected today, and the severity today, there would be compensation, and that could be anywhere from an acknowledgement or that the veteran is service-connected for the condition at no compensation, or what they call a 0% rate, or it can go all the way up depending on the severity of the condition. So it's a monetary benefit. But also, it would open up health care for the rest of the lives of the veterans who may not have previously qualified for health care. So if they become service-connected for any condition at a paid rate, so at what we would say 10% or higher, they would be eligible for health care.
Let's talk about health care for a moment, because I think that there are a lot of people who perhaps don't understand how that VA health care system works. There's a big center, obviously, down in Iron Mountain, the Oscar G. Johnson Center down there, and veterans do get some health care. What health care does the average veteran get, and what health care do they not get?
Sure. Well, that's another big question, but
I'm paid big bucks to ask these, you know, Joe.
And I'm so glad to be able to explain this. So veterans who have qualifying active duty service, so if they fulfilled their term of service on active duty, that's not the National Guard and Reserves unless they were activated for active service. But if they had a qualifying active duty service, and no service-connected conditions, so no conditions that have been acknowledged were caused by service, then they would be subject to an income threshold. An income threshold, I'm sure they're going to go up, but for a single veteran around our area is about $35,000 a year. And for a married veteran, and it would be income from all sources for both the veteran and spouse, it's $45,000. And those aren't particularly high thresholds. They're kind of low, and they do preclude a lot of people. So that's why if a veteran, why we work to see if a veteran can be service connected for something like even tinnitus, or if they fall under the new PACT Act or other previous conditions, or in any way we can get them service connected, then they'll be eligible for all health care through the VA. And what does that mean? Well, it means that the VA, the veteran would be eligible to be treated through the Veterans Health Administration. And in our area, we have outstanding Veterans Health Administration assets available to us. The Iron Mountain Hospital is just wonderful and works extremely hard and actually has been noted as providing a top service in the United States. And then we have locally, we have a clinic here.
Yes, we do.
In Hancock that is staffed by the best clinicians ever. I mean, it is rare when you're dealing with the government to constantly hear accolades.
Well, and this is especially important because we have heard over the last decade or so some real horror stories nationally about VA medical service. And it's just really reassuring to hear that our veterans here are being treated, in generally at least, very well.
Yes, in an outstanding manner. In fact, so much so that the clinic within the last year has actually reached its capacity. So we have what you might call it's a problem, but it's almost one of those good problems. So there is a significant expansion coming to the Hancock Clinic. They're going to move into thousands of more square footage and more clinicians, and so that they can handle the rising number of veterans that are eligible and accessing their health care here.
Is there a timetable on that? Do we know when that's going to
happen? Well, I've been told by there in Mountain Hospital that we're looking at construction starting in August.
Okay.
So in the meantime, the VA, Veterans Health Administration, is not turning anyone away, but they may instead of assigning a newly enrolled veteran, to a doctor to manage their care at the clinic, they may get signed immediately, or at least temporarily, outside of the clinic to a local doctor. And that's a good point there too. The clinic has general care, so that when you're enrolled in VA healthcare, if you need care that the clinic cannot provide, then because of our distance from the Iron Mountain Hospital, we are almost always authorized to go in the community.
And then, that's a change that was authorized in the law just a few years ago, wasn't
true.
It?
True, yep. It was bolstered quite a bit. And the VA is on the leading edge of a lot of stuff, such as care in the community being authorizing that, and telehealth and quite a bit of other services.
Talking with Joe Battisfore from the Houghton County Veterans Affairs Office, this, I suppose, what you were just talking about is reflective of something that we've known for a long time in this area. People from this area serve. We have a history here that goes back 150 years of people signing up for our armed forces, defending our country and serving our nation. And all you have to do is go to some of these even tiny little communities around and look at those walls of fame that are up there. Some are kept up. Some of them are in pretty poor repair. But you see, dozens and dozens of names of people from communities that don't even have dozens and dozens of residents in them anymore, who served in World War I, World War II, and such. There's a great history of that here. That leaves us with a lot of veterans.
Right, absolutely. We've by VA estimates, it's about 10% of the population here, which is significantly higher than the United States as a whole.
Now, how many of those veterans come in and get those veterans' benefits they're entitled to?
Not enough. so we advertise. I write for grants, and we have billboards that rotate through. We do advertising right here on the radio station.
Yep.
We do everything we can to get the word out, but every day we have veterans that come in and have either newly discovered us or actually more often a lot of veterans preclude themselves unnecessarily from benefits by thinking that if they apply for benefits, they might be taking it from another veteran who's more deserving. Or maybe they feel that their type of service or time of service or location of service isn't as important as another veteran. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. We try to dispel that, and it's important for all veterans to understand that when they access their benefits, they're not only receiving the benefits that they've earned, but they're also ensuring those benefits are going to be here for the next generation.
Because if nobody uses them now, then Congress is going to look and say, okay, we don't need to fund these in the future.
Absolutely. It's those benefits were hard fought. As you stated, with Vietnam, it took many, many years and a lot of medical studies and a lot of lobbying for conditions to be acknowledged as caused by Agent Orange. And under the new PACT Act also, you're talking about airborne contaminants and other toxins. If the benefits don't get used, then they'll go away.
I had a couple of friends in the 80s who went through hell, and I mean You know, it was terrible what they went through, and they were both physically debilitated. And they simply weren't being recognized, and they had both served in Vietnam. They had both worked in Agent Orange areas, and unfortunately both passed away. Right. And so you used a word that I think we need to emphasize here, because there's sometimes, I think, an impression that when it comes to a government benefit, that it's charity or a gimme or something like that. You used the word earned.
Yeah, I mean, it's when veterans sign the dotted line to and fulfill their service honorably. I mean, I've heard it described as signing a blank check. You're saying, you know what? I'm putting my life on the line for my country, our way of life, and send me where you will, and I will go. And that's no small thing to have done. And so it's not a normal job. It's not a normal occupation.
Absolutely not. So. And like you mentioned, yeah, some veterans go into more hazardous areas. Mm-hmm. Some veterans get put at greater risk than others. My nephew served a term. He wound up in Alaska, which he rather enjoyed, actually. Yep. You know, he wasn't sent to the Middle East or anything like that, but still he was supporting those who were there in a very important sense, and he would have gone if asked, and so he earns those benefits the same as anybody else.
Yes, yeah, it's a team effort, and when it takes people standing on the other wall of the castle to make sure that we're not attacked from that direction, I guess is the way to put it. But it takes everyone from people who provide supplies to payrolls to truck drivers. It really, it's all a team effort, and without everyone, we wouldn't succeed the way we have.
Absolutely. This PACT Act, which has been signed into law just recently then, which provides all of these new opportunities, if someone is listening and they think, gee, that might be me, how do they go about finding out if they're eligible and applying for these benefits?
Well, we encourage all veterans to come to our office to talk to us about benefits they may be entitled to. The Veterans Health Administration also has, part of the PACT Act is they have expanded rules for toxic exposure evaluation. So even in cases where veterans, when I first talked today about a veteran who maybe exceeds the income threshold but has the qualifying service and yet is not currently service connected, if they served in any of these specified areas and may have been exposed, the VA will do an assessment, a health assessment, to identify if they have any of the conditions that are acknowledged as caused by toxins.
And I think the worm has turned in terms of the presumption. I mean, my friends, but again, back in the 80s, the presumption was, you're trying to scam us, we don't want to have anything to do with you. The presumption now, I think, is more on the other side. If you are a veteran and you have experienced this, we want to make sure that you're included.
Yes, absolutely. The VA is casting a very wide net right now. In fact, they are sending letters to anyone who may have possibly ever been associated with a claim for any of the areas like Thailand that are newly added for Vietnam or airway conditions that are presumptive conditions that may have been previously denied. The VA is sending out a lot of letters. They're doing radio ads and television ads, trying to reach as many veterans as possible. They're not trying to preclude people. They're trying to find people.
Yeah, that's a big change from many, many years ago. Yep. Joe Battisfor, let's talk about some of the other things that veterans can take advantage of in the area. You have a free ride program that's been going pretty well, I think.
Yeah, that's something we're really proud of. We've partnered first with the city of Hancock, then the city of Houghton, and then Community Action, to where if a veteran has a valid veteran ID, and there's many different types to do it. You can be the state of Michigan driver's license with the veteran noted on the bottom, or VA Veterans Health Administration card, or a retired veteran card, or any number of accepted cards. If they have those cards, they can get onto public transportation and ride free at all times in Houghton County.
Houghton Transit, Hancock Transit, Anytime you need to go, anytime they're operating?
Absolutely, yep. You can call their numbers and or ride there when they have routes instead of door-to-door. Either way, we cover the bill because we were able to partner with these cities.
It's just one of the nice things that we can do for people who have given up years of their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've had a lot of positive feedback from this program. For the people that are using it, it's been called, you know, just a life-altering thing. It's just it has changed lives in our cities.
And there's a program still in effect, I would assume, to help veterans get to Iron Mountain if they have appointments there?
Yep, great. So we continue, our office continues to manage what's known as the Disabled American Veterans Van, but it's a van that we operate, we schedule and operate. We have 9 volunteer drivers out of the area. Veterans call us up at our office and let us know when they have appointments down in Iron Mountain. And we drive to and from Iron Mountain on a daily basis.
Who drives the van?
Again, we have a number of volunteers, and they're all associated with various veteran service organizations like the VFW and the American Legions around here. But those volunteer drivers give up their day, and it is a day trip. And they drive veterans to and from Iron Mountain, like I said, daily.
Do you need more volunteers?
We are always looking for volunteers, and anyone interested can call our office at 482-0102, Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and inquire about the process. It's an application, and the van, we in Houghton County in our office, we purchase the van every few years. And then we sign it over temporarily to the Veterans Health Administration, and they license, insure, and operate it. So when we have volunteer drivers, they go to Iron Mountain. We drive them down there, and they get cleared medically and otherwise to be able to drive the van.
Let's talk briefly about a couple of those organizations that you mentioned, our American Legions, our VFWs. I've watched these organizations. I'm familiar with mm-hmm. some. The members are getting a little older. They're concerned new, younger members are not coming in. How important are those organizations in our veterans network?
Oh, what a great question. You know, they are a linchpin. And when we're talking about hard-fought benefits, though, it's important to note that our benefits wouldn't be here without those organizations lobbying our representatives in Congress. And it is imperative that all veterans be a part of that. It doesn't matter which organization, because we're all going for the same goals, but if it is so important to be involved, and all those organizations are community organizations, so they all sponsor other things in our community. They help not just veterans, but they sponsor baseball teams. They help out when people have fires and they do benefit dinners. They just do a number of things, and it's important to support them.
Yeah, so if you are a veteran, consider becoming involved in the Legion or the VFW in your area, because they do great work, and not just on behalf of veterans, as you mentioned, but we see them supporting all sorts of different causes. We see them throwing spaghetti dinners for kids who are sick and things
Absolutely.
Of that nature. It's a great way to help the community in general, and if you're related to one, if you're a spouse, you can join the auxiliary.
Absolutely.
And become involved that way as well. I actually got a note from one of the organizations the other day reminding that the auxiliary is not just for women.
That's
true. If you are a husband of a woman who served, you are eligible to come into the auxiliary. Real quickly, before we get closed up, the recognition banners that I have seen out and about on occasion.
Yep. So we're continuing that popular program. It's a program where people sponsor a veteran, and they just cover the cost of a banner. It's 30 inches by 60 inches, and they're displayed all throughout Houghton County. And it's just a nice way to recognize the service of our area veterans, both those living and deceased. And it's just been super popular. And actually, it's had a great effect on us finding veterans in our community that we may have not met. Or they'll come in and say, hey, I'd like to get a banner for my father who served in World War II. And then we start talking and find out, well, you're a veteran and you've never been here. How about you sit down and we'll talk about benefits.
So let's, we got to wrap this up here, but the Veterans Office for Houghton County, you're located at the airport yet?
Yep, the Houghton County Memorial Airport. We're inside the main terminal. We're prominently marked there, identified. We're open Mondays through Thursdays, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
And I will mention, too, that all counties in the area, matter of fact, all counties in Michigan have veterans offices. If you live in Onondaga County, there's an office. If you live in Baraga County, there's an office. If you live in Keweenaw County, there's an office. So you can reach out to those if you live in those areas as well.
Absolutely. Onondaga County has been longstanding. Keweenaw started up their own office in the last 2 years. They're open actually Mondays through Thursdays, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Baraga County just started a more robust office down there as well. So
you're going to be taken care of. Please don't be afraid to ask for the benefits that you have earned. Joe Battisfort, thank you.
Thank you very much.